since the Lord was blessing our heart as we gathered and worshiped Him. Can I ask you a personal question? How many of you today, be honest now, how many of you today would like to build a better relationship and have relationships that you know could be better? Let me see your hand. You've got someone that you really could be closer with. It might be the Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father. It might be a family member, a son or a daughter. It might be a husband or wife. It might be a friend. All of us have relationships that we would really would pray and need to be closer. I want to share with you a message God placed in my heart this week concerning that. And here's the title of the message: Liberating Loving Relationships That Last a Lifetime. Liberating Loving Relationships That Last a Lifetime. We're looking at the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Turn please to Hebrews chapter 9. And in the message, I want to encourage you, there are four steps that you can take and that God wants you to take today to live a liberating life. Live a liberating life, especially with your loved ones. And it will last a lifetime. It seems like the devil's wrecking and ruining homes and wrecking and ruining relationships, not only outside of the church, but inside of the church as well. And God wants us to build stronger relationships. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. God wants mamas and daddies and parents not to have a wall between each other. The Lord wants us as husbands and wives and as having friendships to really build stronger relationships. How can we do it, Brother Pastor? Taking the theme of the Lord's Supper, the Lord began to speak to my heart and burst some things in my heart that I hope will be a blessing to you, an encouragement to you. We're looking at the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews is a tremendous book. If you would like, please stand as we read just a couple of verses from the book of Hebrews. And the writer to Hebrews, as he wrote this wonderful epistle, keep in mind the theme is pressing on, forgetting those things are behind. And there were some Christians during that time, believers, that were contemplating lapsing back in Judaism and practicing some things that God had set them free from the law, and now they were under grace. And Paul is saying, God wants to get you to a place of rest, a place where you understand that Jesus has got something better for you. And I believe He does. I believe God's got something better for you today. And some of you may be down and depressed and discouraged. And yet God's got something better. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 9. And let's pick up, please, in verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. For yet that He should have offered Himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must He offer often, for then He must have often have offered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And then verse 27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And really verse 28 is the verse that God seemingly brought me to as I was praying and asking the Lord about the message. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. This is the word of God. Father, I thank You for the word of God. I thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just come now to You because we really have nowhere else to go. We tried this, we tried that, we've leaned on our arm of flesh, some of us today are at our end, wits end. God, some of us are just not sure what it's going to take to rebuild the broken down walls of family and loved ones. And so, Father, we ask now in this time we've got that You'll illumine our eyes and quicken our hearts and lead us on into victory. Tear down every stronghold, demolish every work of the enemy, Father, that's in our lives and in our families. We ask You now to cleanse us with the blood and cover us in the blood and lift up the blood of the Lamb over our homes and our marriages and families and children and grandchildren. and God, our friends and friendship, thank you now. We love you because you loved us first. We ask you, God, to change us today and help us to love you more. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me. Again, I pray from the top of my head down to the sole of my feet. I know I'm nothing without you, but God, we're hungry and thirsty for a word from you today. And Father, we're asking, believing, trusting, expecting breakthroughs and for your glory in our hearts and in our families. Now, Lord, give us ears to hear you again, we pray. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Heal every hurt. And God, reclaim the back, the ground the enemy has taken from us. Thank you now. We love you. Bless you now. Oh, Father. Father, please, behind lifted up today in our hearts, in our homes, and in your church, in this nation. Father, we live in such a divided nation. There's so much chaos and confusion. God, you said, our Lord, that if we, your people, will turn to you and trust in you, then you would hear from heaven, forgive our sin, heal our land. You said that the Sodom, and yet, God, I believe that's applicable to us today. So, Father, we're needing a mighty move of heaven in our neighborhoods and in this community. Oh, God, please, God, change us from glory to glory. And thank you for doing it. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Here's four steps you can take today. Four steps you can take today that will absolutely make a difference in your relationships. I must go through them quickly because of my time. But these are four steps you can take that God wants you to take today that will absolutely liberate your loved ones and give you a lifetime of love in your relationships. Here they are. Number one, take a step in the power of the cross of Christ that rebuilds and reconciles relationships. Take a step in the power of the cross. Number two, there's a second step that you can take today that will change your relationship. Number two, not only take a step in the power of the cross of Christ that rebuilds and reconciles relationship. Number two, take a step in the precious blood of Jesus that redeems and restores relationships. Take a step in the precious blood of Jesus that will redeem and restore relationships. Number three, not only take a step in the power of the cross and the precious blood of the Lamb, but number three, take a step in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, take a step to be filled with the Holy Spirit and release and renew your relationship. There's some relationship today that needs some renewal. I know. There's some relationships today that need renewal, that need refreshing, that need to be released from some hurts of the past. But there's a fourth and final step you can take, and we'll just have time to probably mention it and not labor the point. But number four, take a step in the promise of the coming of the King to, watch this, reunite, and revive relationships. Have you got those four steps? Let's take a little journey. God's going to change some relationships. He's going to do it for His glory, liberating, loving relationships that last a lifetime. There's some of you that you're not right with your family. You hadn't talked with them in a long time. You're mad maybe. Or you're hurt maybe. Or you're offended maybe. Or there's some people that you work with, the people down the road that you just can't get along with. Why? Well, let's take a step number one into the power of the cross of Christ. I'm convinced, beloved, if you take this step, God will do a work in your relationships with your loved ones, and it will last a lifetime. Take a step in the power of the cross. What does the power of the cross do? Rebuilds and reconciles relationships. And there's two places it rebuilds and reconciles relationship. Number one, in my relationship with God, when I take a step to the power of the cross It rebuilds and reconciles, number one, my relationship with God. And I believe today that's probably perhaps one of the most important steps that you need to take today is your relationship with God. We're trying to make this work and that work and listen to Dr. Phil and read Dr. Postholdigger's books and try to try this and try that instead of taking a step to the power of the cross. Thank God for the cross. Hey, listen to me. The power of the cross rebuilds and reconciles. I love the account, and may I take you back there once again about whether Jesus was born, or rather not born, but rather whether he was crucified on Thursday or Friday. I don't know. I'm not really sure whether he died on Thursday, Friday, some say Wednesday. Frankly, to me, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that he did die. And he was crucified. But let me tell you something. When Jesus died, whether it was Thursday or Friday, it's speculation. It doesn't matter because Sunday was coming. I said Sunday was coming. I said the resurrection morning was coming. Listen to me. I can see Jesus as he went to the Garden of Gethsemane praying great sweat drops of blood that the cup would pass from him. But he said, not my will, Father, but your will be done. And he knew that Sunday was coming. He arrested him in the garden. Judas kissed him, the one that lifted up his heels. But Sunday was coming. And they took him to that mock trial between Caiaphas and Pilate and the Sanhedrin and the other. Mock trial, but Sunday was coming. Didn't matter what they said because Sunday was coming. Didn't matter what they did because Sunday was coming. Resurrection morning was coming. I'm telling you, take a step to the power of the cross. They arrested him and beat him, not under the merciless Jewish law, which restricted to 39 lashes, rather under the Roman law, which had no restrictions except for to leave a little bit of life in its victim. Oh, watch him as he's being scourged. The Bible says Pilate had him to be scourged. His flesh was ripped from his body. But Sunday was coming. Sunday was coming. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But as he's being beaten, as he's being whipped, as the blood is flowing from his body, not a bone in his body would be broken. Sunday's coming. And then Pilate said, what will I do with this man called Jesus? And they said, crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. But Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. And then the Bible teaches that they took him to the way of the cross, the Via Dolorosa, the place of the skull, namely Golgotha. He's carrying his cross. Can you see him? The power of the cross. And Sunday's coming. They nail him. That centurion soldier with skilled blows nailed his quivering hands and feet to the cross. But Sunday's coming. Can you see the agony? Can you feel the torture? Do you understand the pain and the endure that Jesus died and went for you and me? Sunday's coming. And as he's hanging on the cross, he says, and others say, if you be the Christ, come down from the cross. Oh, no, they don't understand. His Sunday's coming. The disciples look at him. It looks like the very epitome of defeat. A man hanging on a cross. A man that had power over death and demons and disease. And yet now he seemingly is hanging helplessly on a cross. But they don't understand. Sunday's coming. Sunday is coming. And then when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And darkness filled the land. And there he's bearing the sins of many. One thief on one cross said, if you're the Christ, save us. You saved others. They don't understand. Sunday's coming. And then, oh, he cries out in John 19 and 30. It is finished. Tetelestai. Sunday's coming. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came and got the body down and placed it into that tomb, a borrowed tomb. But Sunday's coming. Sunday is coming. A resurrection morning. Pilate and the others had a seal put on the tomb, and they placed soldiers around the tomb, lest somebody come and steal away the body of Jesus. Why? Well, the disciples said, he's in the tomb. But Sunday is coming. Thank God Sunday came. On the resurrection morning, an angel came from glory and rolled the stone away. And Jesus came up out of that grave with the keys to death and hell. Sunday's here. Resurrection morning. Praise God. All that we had lost, all that men had lost, all hope seemed to be gone. But on the resurrection morning, on that glorious Sunday morning, Jesus got up out of the grave with the keys to death and hell and said, behold, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Praise God, with the power of the cross. Power of the cross. That's what builds relationships. That's what reconciles me with the Holy God. I want you to know that power of the cross. It goes deeper. Jesus said, if any man wish to follow me, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. He that loves his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. Reconciled by the power of the cross. Death to self. I heard about one man. Was talking to another man. You know, there's a lot of marriages today that are just hanging in there instead of having a blessed marriage from heaven. I know everything may not be perfect. How many know that marriage takes work? Let me see your hand. How many know that everything doesn't always go like you want it to go when you're married? Let me see your hand. How many know that when you've got children, everything don't always go like you want it to go? But wait a minute. Wait a minute, I heard about two men that were talking. One man, they were having difficulty and trouble. And one man said to another man, he said, I want to ask you a question. To another man, he said, what is it? He said, if your dog was barking at the back door and your wife was knocking on the front door, who would you let in first? The man thought for a moment and said, my dog. He said, why? The man said, because the dog would stop barking when he came in. Anyway, I got a feeling he stayed in the doghouse. How many agree with me? Did you hear about the man that was trying to run things around his house? People tell me that every once in a while. They say, Pastor, I run things around my house. I said, really? What do you mean by that? They said, the vacuum cleaner, the dishwasher, you know, the washing machine and the dryer, run things around my house. You hear about the old boy that was trying to run things around his house, and he went down and to the washing machine, and he hollered back to his wife. He said, honey, I'm going to wash my sweatshirt. What should I put it on? She said, what does it say on the shirt, the t-shirt? He said, Texas A&M. But in all seriousness, listen to me, in all seriousness, today it seems like anger and bitterness and resentment is, I know, not the number one problem, but certainly it's a big issue in marriages today. We're told by Christian counselors, immaturity and selfishness is the number one problem in marriages. But certainly anger and madness. How many know that you might be happy today, but tomorrow some circumstances might come your way, and you might not be happy tomorrow? Let me see your hand. How many know that tomorrow the devil knows how to push those buttons and get you upset and get you angry? Come on, I need somebody to admit, somebody to be honest, somebody to be real, somebody to say, Pastor, you're exactly right. I'm not always living, and it seems like at times the devil knows how to get my goat, as we say. Well, wait a minute. I was talking with a family here, a couple here not long ago that was facing anger and madness. And you see, we have to go to the cross. The cross says, die to yourself. The cross says, I'm crucified with Christ. That's what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. How many know that a man dying on the cross does not have many rights? A lady hanging on a cross does not have rights, nor do they have authority. When you're hanging on a cross, it's not about what you want. You're just dead. You're dying. And so it is in a relationship. Are there any relationships today that need to take a step to the power of the cross? the power of the cross, the power to heal that anger, the power to heal that resentment, the power of the cross that rebuilds and reconciles. There's some mamas and daddies today that your children aren't doing right. They're not living right. They're not respecting you like you think you ought to. They're not just doing everything you think they ought to. And you're in a, we'd call it a hissy fit. You're in a bind. You don't know what to do. And God says, take a step to the power of the cross. Number two, you can take a step not only to the power of the cross, be rebuilt and reconciled. Relationships that last a lifetime. But number two, you can take a step into the precious blood of Jesus that redeems and restores relationships. Number one, redeems my relationship with Him. Number two, redeems my relationship and restores my relationship with others. How many of you have got a loved one you haven't talked with them in a long time? Don't raise your hand. How many of you've got an ill will in your heart and you tolerate them, but really deep down inside you've got some problems, you've got some issues, and God's wanting to set you free today. God's wanting to restore that relationship if you'll take a step in the power of the cross, if you'll take a step in the precious blood of Jesus. It will redeem that relationship. I'm glad that God, when I was out of the will of God, I was not even a Christian. I'm glad, thanks be to God, I sold my soul over to the devil. The Bible says, all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was lost. How many have ever been lost? Let me see your hand. We're all, there's none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is filthy rank before holy God. But we sold our soul over to the devil. And then, watch this. God showed me, the devil put us in his pawn shop. How many know what a pawn shop is? The devil put us in his pawn shop. He didn't care about us. How many know he's a liar? How many know he's come to kill, steal, and destroy? How many know the devil has a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour? We've got to understand, not be ignorant of Satan's devices. But wait a minute. I was in the pawn shop of the devil. I'm glad, thanks be to God, my Lord Jesus came in the pawn shop of the devil and said, who is that right over there? I want to pay the price for their forgiveness, their redemption. The word redeem in the New Testament is the word agorizo. Redeem. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, Ephesians 1:7. We're not redeemed with corruptible sin, with corruptible things that are silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, without spot, without blemish. 1 Peter 1. Verse 18 and 19. We have redemption. That is, we've been, watch this, the word redeem means to purchase. It means to purchase for one's own possession. It means to purchase with intent to set free. I'm glad, thanks be to God, when Jesus saved me and purchased my redemption, he set me free. I'm no longer a slave to sin anymore. Glory be to God. I'm telling you, there's power in the cross. The precious blood of Jesus has redeeming power. Redeeming power. Oh, yes, it does. And you see, what God's saying to you today is that you don't have to be mad and angry today. You can, watch this, you can let some of that stuff go. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 32, Paul said, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Tell me, you say, but you don't know what they've done. It doesn't matter. Well, I was in a church here, or I was in my neighborhood here, or my children did this, or my prior marriage did this, and now I'm facing all this mess. How many know that you can't help what other people do, but you can help how you respond to it? Can I get a witness? The problem is, we're responding in the flesh oftentimes. We're not saying, Jesus, I take my place in the cross. And Lord, I trust in the shed blood. I pray, Jesus, you'll not only forgive me. Watch this. You'll give me the grace to forgive others. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, if you do not forgive others from your heart, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. That's pretty strong, isn't it? If you and I harbor unforgiveness and bitterness in our heart, you know, we do it sophisticatedly now. I know we're smart, we're intelligent. We know what the Bible says, and we just kind of act like we don't get mad, and we just act like we don't harbor resentment in our heart. But deep down inside, we know we haven't dealt with it. And God's saying, deal with it today. Let me, watch this, let me get out those roots of bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 says, looking diligently lest any man lest any seed of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby cause many to be defiled. It doesn't take long to stay in church for a while and learn the lingo, but not do business with God, not obey God. When God's saying right now to your heart, you know deep down in your heart, you come to the altar, leave that gift, and first be reconciled to your brother. Well, you don't know all the situation. I may not know all the situation, but I know there's power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power in the cross of Christ. I was out visiting this past week. By the way, we've got the best news that I know. When Jesus changes us, how can we keep it to ourselves? I don't understand that. I was out visiting this week and knocked on the door. And a young man came to the door. I didn't know he was going to be there. I don't think I've ever met him. Maybe one time before in my life. But if we really love the Lord Jesus, and if we really want to, Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say do?" If we really want to obey the Lord, then we cannot bypass the mandate from heaven. We're witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the most parts of the earth. And be concerned with other people, their eternal destiny. I know we say we're concerned, but really, are we? Are we really concerned? What are we doing about it? What have you done? What am I doing? Are we really concerned? Oh, yeah, I just give lip service. But I'm doing something. Am I telling somebody? Am I praying for somebody? This man came to the door. 16 years old. How many were 16? Let me see your hand. Nobody. How many wish you were 16? Let me see your hand. Amen. Somebody said, if you want to stay young, hang around young people. If you want to die young, try to keep up with them. That's about the size of it. But this young man came to the door, and I said, I didn't know his parents weren't home. I went to visit him, and he came to the door, and I said, are your mom, dad home? Nope. And I realized he's opened the door and he don't know me and I don't know him. And it's kind of, you know, you got a half a second. And the Lord just moved my heart. I said, let me ask you a question. Are you a Christian? He said, no. I said, really? He said, no. You know, nowadays it seems like everybody says they're a Christian, whether or not, whether one or not. Hello, we live in the Bible Belt. I don't buy it. I hope you don't either. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. I don't know their heart, but God knows their heart. But I'm convinced not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall in the kingdom, but he that do the will of my Father in heaven, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Anyway, this man came to the door, and I said, are you a Christian? He said, no, listen to the conversation. It only lasted probably 5 minutes, but it was a door of opportunity. I'm sharing this with you to encourage you. I don't always seize the opportunity, but I'm telling you, there are people out there right now that aren't right with God. And we've got the best news. We don't just gather as a country club for saints. We make this a hospital for sinners. Come to Jesus. I'm growing in the Lord. This young man said to me, I said, are you a Christian? No. I said, really? Tell me why not. He said, well, he said, I believe there's 2,700 other religions. How many of you heard that? I knew where it was going with the conversation. I said, Up in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, you watched all that History Channel and all that garbage about that they're putting out nowadays in these New Age things and schools and so forth. He goes to Jasper County High School. I said, oh, really? There's 2,700 religions. I said, yeah, but they're wrong. I said, hey, by the way, I just cut through the chafe and said, man, let me just ask you a question. If you died, where do you think you're going to go? You're going to die one day. I'm going to die. I don't know if I'll make it home. If you died, where are you going? You know what he told me? He said, without batting an eye, he said, I believe it's going to be just like before I was born. I'll be just like before I was born. And I looked at him without blinking an eye and said, what if you're wrong? Because I know he's wrong. And conviction failed. He wasn't expecting that. What if you're wrong? You are wrong. Look at this. You're wrong. And then he began to tell me. He said, well, and I began to challenge him about how the Lord changed my life. Briefly, in a minute or two, I told him how the Lord changed my life and saved me by his marvelous grace. And then he said this. I'll never forget. He said this. I said, well, have you ever considered the Word of God? All these other religions? I mean, the Bible is unique. It's different. And I said, share some other things, but real quick. And then he said, but you know what? I have a problem with the Bible. I said, what? What kind of problem you got with the Bible? He said, I have a problem with all those genocides and all that killing they did in the Old Testament. He said, you mean God would cause his people to kill all them people? He said, I have a real problem with that. I knew that was just a crutch he was leaning on. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God brought to my mind. I said, well, listen to me, young man. You realize that God chose a people in the Old Testament, and God chose them for his own glory, and God told his people to be special and different and holy. And God told the people of God to drive out the inhabitants of the land because they were heathenistic and they were worshiping idols, and God didn't want his people to be mixing and mingling with them. What would you say if somebody said there's always problems in the Bible like genocide? What would you say to them? The Lord gave me this, and I'm sharing with you. You can use it too. Because, not because I said it, but because people got all these hung up things in their mind about the Word of God. Anyway, I went further and said, hey, young man, let me ask you a question. What about 9/11? You know, the Bible says there's a time of peace and then there's a time to kill. I can't hear you. I said, have you ever heard of a just war? What about 9/11? You think we'll let those terrorists just come in America and wipe us out and kill us? And no, God said there's a just war and there's a time for peace. There's a time to kill. And not only that, but wait a minute. David was a warrior. God trained him up as a warrior. Romans chapter 13 describes the government and how God established the government for the protection of his people. So as we talked in dialogue, I'll never forget, I shared with him, my time is gone, I shared with him this. What about Jesus? Either he was lying or he's telling the truth. The bottom line is, what are you going to do with Jesus? That's the bottom line. Doesn't matter what you believe about this. Don't matter what you believe about this. What about the Lord? He said he was God. He either was God or he was not God. Others said he was God. Thomas said it. John said it. Peter said it. And either he was God or he was not God. Look at his proof. Look at his... Man, you just gotta deal with that issue. Anyway, bottom line. I shared a few other things real quick. And he looked at me and he said... I said, what do you think? He was taking it in. The lies he had bought into, and the deception he had bought into, all of a sudden were getting knocked out from under him. I'm praying for him. I'm going to share with you his name, but pray for him. He's a young man, 16. I wish I could tell you he was saved, but he wasn't. And I said, before I left, I said, can I pray for you? He said, yes. I sensed some things in him as I was looking right in his eye. You can tell a lot about a person when you look in their eye. I looked at his eye and said, can I pray for you? I knew there were some needs there. I knew that he needed whatever one of us need, and that's unconditional love, the love of Christ. I said, can I pray for you? I was surprised he said yes. I thought he was going to say no because he had an angry spirit about him, and I don't know what all he's been through, but the Lord showed me that about him. Pray for him. He said, God, save this young man. Let him know you love him. Thank you, Jesus. Let's take a step in the cross of Christ. Take a step in the precious blood of Jesus. Take a step. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Watch this. I can't love my loved ones until God fills up my heart with his love. I don't know how to forgive. I don't know how to be patient. Hello. I don't know how to meet the needs of people around me except for God's filling up my heart. Tell me, are you filled up with God today? Do you need God to fill you up today? Is it one reason maybe you're not expressing love and forgiveness? Because you need God to fill you up? Our prayers today, Lord, fill us up today that we can love like Jesus. You loved us. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. One of the reasons we're angry and one of the reasons we've got a hateful spirit is because we just need to get with Jesus and let him love us and let him love on us and receive his love and forgive us and accept his forgiveness in our life. And then he gives us the power to forgive. Is there somebody in your life right now you said, that is hard to love. I can't love them, man. Well, get with the Lord Jesus. Let him love on you. Let him pour in that love in your heart. And then not only that, but the precious promise of the coming of the King. Liberating, loving relationships that last a lifetime. Will you take a step today in the power of the cross? Let God rebuild. Let God reconcile some relationships in your life. Will you do it? Will you take a step in the precious blood of Jesus? Will you take a step today and say, Lord, I know you redeemed me. You bought me a price I couldn't pay, a debt that you didn't owe. You redeemed me. You restored me. Will you redeem, Will you show that redemption to others? I know they did wrong. I know that you can't forgive their sin, but God can. They sinned against you, you can forgive them. You take a step in the power of the Holy Spirit and say, I need you, Lord. How many will admit with me today that we get to a place where sometimes this old world gets us agitated and irritated and we lose sight. We lose sight of who we are in Christ. We lose that intimacy. Watch this. We lose that intimacy with the Lord. Stand to your feet.